Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The first presidential debate of the 2024 election will be held in less than a week. Former President Trump holding policy meetings with advisors, including J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio, and President Biden preparing at Camp David with his advisors. ABC senior congressional correspondent Rachel Scott has more.
This is going to look and feel a whole lot different. There will be no live studio audience, no staff interactions once they get on that debate stage. You remember those past debates that turned into shouting matches between President Biden and former President Donald Trump? Well, this time around, the candidates' microphones will only be turned on when it is their turn to speak.
The hot weather is still the big story from the plains through the Northeast, the heat causing major travel disruptions in the Northeast Corridor on Thursday. More records could be broken today. Wildfires still raging out of control in New Mexico. Two people have died so far. And cleanup along the Texas Gulf Coast continues from Tropical Storm Alberto. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More than 3 million people in Wisconsin have jobs. That's the most ever. The unemployment rate is just 2.9%. The Department of Workforce Development says conditions are good for workers who are looking for better pay and benefits. Social justice groups want social workers and not the police to respond to some emergency calls. Megan Rogers is with the Nonviolent Peace Force.
There are many, many times when a person is going through a severe mental health crisis that police are called and that person becomes criminalized and it's not given the full wraparound services and the appropriate response to what truly is a mental health issue.
The Madison Police Department, for one, has 6 full-time mental health officers and 2 in-house crisis workers. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The public hearing for former UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gow ended yesterday. Gow is attempting to keep his tenured faculty position after being fired by the Board of Regents as chancellor in December when UW officials learned he was making pornographic videos. If 4 members of the 5-person panel reviewing this week's testimony agree to fire Gow, they will pass the recommendation on to Interim Chancellor Betsy Morgan, who originally filed for Gow's dismissal. The next step would be a hearing with the Board of Regents. A man has been charged with homicide in Trumbull County. 61-year-old Todd Geek of Melrose was arrested earlier this week as the lone suspect in the shooting death of 36-year-old Kyle Dahl of Ettrick. Dahl died on May 15th of a gunshot wound. Court documents say Geek shot at Dahl's car in an apparent road rage incident on Highway 53 near Ettrick. Geek is charged with first-degree reckless homicide, according to online court records. He is being held in jail and has yet to make a court appearance for the charges. For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Bucks getting ready for the draft.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NBA draft is coming up next week. Bucks GM John Horst has the 23rd and 33rd picks overall, which he may flip in a trade deal. The Los Angeles Lakers have hired ESPN's J.J. Redick as their new head coach. The 39-year-old Redick played 15 years in the NBA with 6 different teams, including the Milwaukee Bucks, but never the Lakers. The only time Redick has ever coached was for his son's youth basketball team. Baseball. The Brewers losing to the Padres last night, 7-6. Starting pitcher Bryce Wilson got off to a bad start, giving up 4 runs in the first. Pat Murphy.
I wasn't super pleased with how he threw the ball. 5 runs and 15 outs is not what we're looking for here.
The Brewers debuting another rookie reliever, 23-year-old Bradley Blaylock, in the 8th.
I guess walking out of the bullpen kind of just glanced up and looked at everyone, took it all in for a second, but then once I started that jog in, I was locked in and ready to go get 3 outs.
As Brewers pitcher Bradley Blaylock was Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
La Crosse area weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Showers and thunderstorms today. Some heavy rainfall possible. Highs near 80 degrees. Showers and storms are likely tonight. Some with heavy rain again, a low around 69. An inch or two of rain today and possibility up to an inch of rain again tonight.
Currently 66 degrees.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as our old friend Peter Rapine of EPOM's World stops by with a lighter look at the week in review. Do not miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for The Todd Albaugh Show.
All right, welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2727.
People thought they were on the wrong channel.
89.
They didn't hear the normal opening music. Girl.
You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Earl. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, so Earl, I just happenstancely found out that today is your birthday. And it's not just a birthday. It's a decade marking birthday. So, you know, today we're going to celebrate Earl Ingram,
right? Well,
a great friend of mine who's going to try and sneak his birthday under the radar. I hope more of you today are streaming, watching this show as you can do, because I brought Earl my family birthday hat that he's wearing, and it's silly. Earl looks like every birthday guy ought to look. He's the silly celebrant.
Sandy, I've been saying for a while,
you joined my decade.
If I sneeze too hard,
yeah,
I'm going to be 70. Well, guess what? Yesterday I sneezed too hard.
Gesundheit.
And yeah, I mean, I woke up this morning and I'm 70.
Yeah. Actually, you know what today means? Today
what?
Means you've actually finished 70 years.
Yeah.
And you're starting 71.
So Sandy certainly puts it in great perspective, right?
Yeah.
Calvin.
Yeah, certainly does.
You know, Sandy, I'm not one who celebrates birthdays.
It's attention. People don't like, you know, humble people don't like attention being paid to them. I've always liked to ignore it, but you know what? I'm not going to ignore your birthday.
well, I want to say, you text me last night.
Yeah.
And you asked me my birthday. And I'm like, why is he asking me my birthday? Does he know, you know?
I didn't. I choose the music now. Earl's given me this task. So I was going to do birth year music for the people, for Calvin, for you, for me. And I was going to try and figure out themes. And so I asked what day and date. So I could find out what music was top on your birthday as well. So you write back and you said June 21st. 1954. And my math is good enough. So I was like, wait a minute. Tomorrow is June 21st and it's 2024. I can do this math.
Well, you know, I wasn't going to come in here and tell people, hey, it's my birthday.
No, of course not.
And, So, you know, I'm thankful to have been able to have made it this far. There are a lot of people who don't get a chance. So I'm very thankful of that. I do know that it's another chapter in my life.
It's a great decade. 70s, or I can tell you, you stay healthy and it's a fantastic time. Well, so one of the things I was doing, you say, hey, Earl, was at the time I was looking at for information about Willie Mays, because obviously the passing of Willie Mays was a big thing. In 1954, there was music regarding Willie Mays that was actually big on the charts for a brief period of time during June of 1954. So not only was this music about Willie Mays, say hey, but it was also about the incoming Earl Ingram. Hey, can you tee that music up, Calvin? This is kind of interesting because actually Willie Mays sings in this as well.
Say who? Say Willie. Say hey. Say who? Swinging at the plate. Say hey. Say who? Say Willie. That giant kid is great. When he hits the ball, it's long gone, man. Hits it farther than can't begin. Swings the bat like a little lead pipe. When they reach the ball,
Willie Mays. It's over. I think he entered in 50.
Willie is singing in that?
Well, he makes, we probably won't hear it, but right. his voice comes into that, the back and forth that goes on in that song. And, you know, Willie was like 3 years in the major leagues and he was already the rage. I saw music about him, national hits relating to Willie Mays. You were being born.
Well, he was a flashy player. And as I told you, Willie Mays was my favorite baseball player as a child, as a young man. And just watching his athleticism, Sandy, and his hand-eye coordination, and never will forget one of the greatest catches in the history.
Yeah, running back over his shoulder.
Yeah, catch, yeah, yeah, with his back to home plate, catching this ball in the polo grounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Dead center field. He's on the warning track. And just to, you know, even to this day, if you see that, it's a pretty spectacular catch. You know, and if you look at some of the players today, their athleticism, I think far exceeds what the decades past. But that catch Willie Mays made has gone down in history as one of the greatest catches in the history of the game.
Yeah, and, you know, we were so used to having black baseball players, but he was really early in the process. I mean, Jackie Robinson hadn't been in the league very long when Henry Aaron and Willie Mays and these guys broke in. So it was a big deal.
And go ahead.
Well, I know, and I'm just saying, but 1954 was a big year. It was a big year for Willie Mays, but it was a bigger year for the Ingrams.
Right. Well,
and I'm so glad, you know, it was.
So I don't know if it was such a big year for the Ingrams. I was number 7 of 13.
So you were, it was sort of a ho-hum.
Yeah. I'm that guy who, when it was time for dinner and they rang the cowbell, and they said, hey, dinner for everybody. And if, you know, I didn't get there on time and somebody would say, hey, number seven is missing. hey,
how long,
number seven?
How long did it take them to name you?
I was
14 years old before they decided they had to go beyond number 7.
I was actually named after my father, so I'm a junior.
Uh-huh.
And so we're just kind of strange.
So were all the George Foremans.
Oh yeah, but they were all named George
they
Foreman.
Were all named
I know.
George.
But after there were three boys before me. So kind of strange. Maybe they were running out of names.
No, they knew you were special right from day one.
Oh, man. You know, Sandy, I'm on it. My life has been full, and my life has been full of service. And so, you know, I'll never become a millionaire financially, but I will become, am becoming a person who is recognized by my community as somebody who is right there with his sleeves rolled up trying to make my community better.
Well, for sure, Earl. That's you've lived a remarkable life, really. You know, these politicians all want to say they started out, you know, in the hardworking blue collar family, and this is where. But you did, you know, and you've committed yourself in so many ways, you know, and to children, the football program you sponsored for so long and ran. And now Voice of the Elders, and a whole variety of other things. I mean, you've been at it. You have put your money. No, it's even more than putting your money where your mouth is. You've put your blood and sweat where your mouth is, and that's fantastic.
You know, Sandy. You know, I was fortunate enough to see a guy like Dr. Martin Luther King as a young man. He impacted my life immeasurably. And in watching him, and I think having the gift of a caring heart, watching him, I didn't realize a caring heart was a gift, right? And until I ran into some other folk who, you know, don't really give a rip about anybody. But I found out, you know, later on, there's some value in that.
Well, you know what? I think the people who get the most benefit out of doing things for others are the people who are doing things for others. It's a great feeling. There's a great deal of personal warmth that's achieved. You get, you know, you achieve grace in a way that is fundamentally much better than any kind of reward. Financial that you could get.
Well, you know, Sandy, I was
incidentally, though, it's a little hard to take you seriously with that hat on. I just wish I wish everyone on the radio could see. Yeah, it's great. Go ahead.
So anyway, I want to talk a little bit about my short, you know, trip to
Baraboo
and what I learned in, you know, just one day in Baraboo about the beauty of, you know, the part. And that's only 2 hours away from Milwaukee. You're talking to a guy who spent his whole life in an urban center.
Right.
And did not venture. As far as, you know, my knowledge of the wild is if I go down to Lake Park in Milwaukee, you know.
Well, I mean, I think that's true of so many people in Wisconsin who probably don't really travel around Wisconsin that much. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who have this pattern of going up north. Okay. So
right.
Those people probably get around some, but I think there's an awful lot of people who live in the western or northern parts of Wisconsin who never get to Milwaukee and see what it is and what it's like and what it has to offer. And there's many, many people in Milwaukee who never really get out of the urban environment and see the beauty of what's all around the state. It's spectacular.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Maybe this should be called The Old Man in the Shoe.
There you go.
You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, 844-967-2789.
Eagle, 1490 AM.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey, look, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through without throwing up.
we better put some Saran on the mic, you know?
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-9.
Now, you're supposed to ask me, Sandy, what's the music about?
89, and we'll do that. I first want to read a couple of texts. A happy birthday to my friend and Milwaukee living legend. Look, living legend implies.
Well, you better be a living legend. It's much better.
But implies that I've been around a long time.
Okay.
Anyway, I don't feel like I've been around a long time, but.
Well, get used to it.
Yeah, sadly, we don't get around the state because it's not always as welcoming and can be dangerous on many levels. Luann says, cute hat.
Oh, there. She's
so, Sandy, you got an acknowledgement of this hat that I have on my head. It's actually alive.
Yeah, it'll move. You could turn it on, and it does a dance.
Go ahead.
Well, that message, you know, I think it's interesting because – I think that there are plenty of people who live out in rural Wisconsin who think that it's not safe to come into the city of Milwaukee. And this is an expression of someone who lives in the city of Milwaukee who thinks it might not be safe to go to rural Wisconsin. And I think both those fears are just sadly misplaced. You know, I think I don't think there's anything like a danger to be experienced by coming and traveling around the city of Milwaukee, seeing what there is and experiencing Milwaukee. And similarly, there's really no danger for the people who live in the city of Milwaukee, I think, going around like you did to Baraboo and other places all around the state.
All right, let's go to Al. I think Al's going to be complaining about the music. hey, Al, what's going on, man?
Is that what you call that? Music? Anyway, did I hear something about somebody's birthday?
No, Al, that was that was a mistake. No, it's absolutely it's Earl's birthday.
Oh, I was just because I thought, you know, when you hit a certain plateau, you don't have those anymore.
Well, those of us who've passed that plateau, don't let people ignore it, right? I mean, it's like a welcome aboard.
Al still says he's 29.
Hello. <Yeah. laughs> Forever.
Hey, Al, why'd you pick 29?
Because Janis Joplin sang that song at Woodstock, saying when you hit 30, you're over the hill. I said, I'll never reach the top of that hill.
Yeah.
You know, Al, so I don't want to sit here and be talking about my birthday, man. You know.
You don't have to. Other people will.
and so, you know, I'm going to go home and do what I do every day. And that's serve. And then, you know, I'm blessed to have woken up this morning. Like every morning, when I close my eyes, I'll be thankful if I can, wake up the next morning.
Come on, this is such a buzzkill. This is your birthday, man. This isn't about whether I'm going to wake up in the morning.
Well, that's what, you know, now you sound like my wife.
Oh, God. I'm sure I should.
No, but she kind of says, you know, hey, come on, get with it.
Yeah.
But it's been so long. Al, do you celebrate your birthdays? No, you just said you don't.
Oh, of course he does.
Excuse me. Yes, I do. Every 29, I have one every year.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, I wanted to talk about this moving around the state.
Yeah, go ahead.
I served on the state track coaches board for several years. And prior to that, I used to take kids from the inner city to the Dells and other places years and years ago because I wanted them to see what the rest of the world looks like and how other people live. But the point is, our issue is not about moving around. It's about fear. We're afraid of the unknown. And people who live in cities basically are afraid of people who are in the rural areas because they don't know how these people live. And they assume everybody's running around with a gun. And if you step on my land, I'm going to shoot you and all of that garbage. But people live like that in the city also in a very smaller environment. But I've never had an issue throughout the state of Wisconsin and Michigan and Minnesota and Illinois. I go wherever I feel like going, and people either welcome you or they ignore you. And I have no fear of anything. So I just point that out because of the fact that traveling is economy, and you need to learn a lot about the rural areas because that's where your food comes from. And you need, you know, the only thing I have a problem with is planting time when you the smell of what they put out in those fields. But other than that, everything is cool.
Hey, Al, those are great words of wisdom, man. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, he hit on the points that you and I were talking about off the air.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, fear is the biggest problem we're contending with now. It's the biggest problem politically. It's the biggest problem socially. And much of it is this social fear, which ends up kind of reducing sometimes, I'm afraid, to tribal and racial fear, which I think travel could do a lot to get over.
You know? People are selling fear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, and I always say, I just don't, you know, I haven't not gone to rural parts of the state because of fear. I think it's just that, you know, spending my entire life inside of urban reality, you know, and trying to fix what's wrong inside of my community, I never thought much about, it's not like I haven't been to different parts of the state.
Yeah, and there's also this law of physics called inertia. You know, what's at rest tends to stay at rest.
Right.
What's in motion tends to stay in motion. And I think there's a lot of inertia that goes into how we live. You know, we get used to something. We have a comfort zone. We do it every day. You know, you do have to sort of stir yourself up to decide you're going to go off and do something, drive to Baraboo, see Baraboo, whatever. And I think that once you do it, there's an excitement about it. There's an excitement and an enrichment about being someplace, seeing it, seeing what's different. And actually, you saw beauty that the people who live in Baraboo take for granted.
You know? Sandy,
it's nothing to them. It was beautiful to
you. Yeah. Well, there are people listening to us all across this state, and they call from across the state. And you know, I'm interested in their thoughts. We're interested in their thoughts mm-hmm. about what we're talking about now. Because, you know, who was it that said there's nothing to fear but fear itself? What president said
FDR.
That? Okay.
And that was, he was talking about the depression and, you know.
Right. But I mean, the same, just fear in general, you know, being afraid of the unknown and those kinds of things. You just have to, as I stated, and when I was talking to the mayor of Baraboo, I told him I'd never been here, but I'm coming back with my family because, man, I missed all that.
Well, and there's the Circus World Museum there. That actually would be interesting.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Can we hurry up and get past this?
No, God, no.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A 17-year-old boy is dead after being shot at a Milwaukee Juneteenth celebration last night. A 15-year-old boy was wounded. It happened as an event at a park was wrapping up early because of fights. A 17-year-old is accused of firing several shots into the crowd. He's under arrest. Scientists say changes can happen in the brain at least 20 years before a person is diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Abby Meisner with the Alzheimer's Association says the risk is rising at a younger age, and the numbers are discouraging.
The lifetime risk for Alzheimer's at age 45 is 1 in 5 for women and 1 in 10 for men.
120,000 people in Wisconsin age 65 and older were living with Alzheimer's 4 years ago. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A man has been charged with homicide in Trempealeau County. 61-year-old Todd Geek of Melrose was arrested earlier this week as the lone suspect in the shooting death of 36-year-old Kyle Dahl of Ettrick. Dahl died on May 15th of a gunshot wound. Court documents say Geek shot at Dahl's car in an apparent road rage incident on Highway 53 near Ettrick. Geek is charged with first-degree reckless homicide, according to online court records. He is being held in jail and has yet to make a court appearance for the charges. The public hearing for former UW lacrosse chancellor Joe Gall ended yesterday. Gall is attempting to keep his tenured faculty position after being fired by the Board of Regents as chancellor in December when UW officials learned he was making pornographic videos. If four members of the five-person panel reviewing this week's testimony agree to fire Gall, they will pass the recommendation on to interim chancellor Betsy Morgan, who originally filed for Gall's dismissal. The next step would be a hearing with the Board of Regents. For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are teaming up again for a new crime thriller called R.I.P. The duo's company, Artists Equity, will produce the film. The project is in the early stages, and plot details are being kept on the down low. Artists Equity's first film was Air, which debuted in 2022. Both Affleck and Damon were part of the cast, with Damon as the main character. If you don't include the true star, a shoe. Justin Timberlake was released from police custody in the Hamptons following a drunk driving charge. The incident happened after Timberlake left a party at a friend's house and was pulled over by police. Timberlake was reportedly booked early Tuesday and kept overnight before being released without bail. Police said Timberlake failed to stop, was swerving and slurring his words, basically failing every aspect of the sobriety test. Timberlake says he only had one martini at a time. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Lacrosse area weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Showers and thunderstorms today. Some heavy rainfall possible. Highs near 80 degrees. Showers and storms are likely tonight. Some with heavy rain again, a low around 69. An inch or two of rain today and possibility up to an inch of rain again tonight.
Currently 66 degrees.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Lepke Trucking and Excavating in Chaseburg takes this moment to remember all of our fallen heroes, the brave men and women of the United States Armed Forces, their sacrifice and enduring commitment to all those who gave their last full measure of devotion for our liberty, our values, and our democracy. We remember you, we honor you, and we thank you. This from Brad and Debbie and the Lepke family at Lepke Trucking and Excavating on County Road in Chaseburg. We live in the land of the free, thanks to the brave.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A Friday edition will air the grievances and get a legal update. Devil's Friday.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Celebrate.
Great lyrics.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams.
And the music. We're celebrating today a special day. It's Earl's birthday today. And it's a special birthday. It's a decade-marking birthday. And it's we just want to celebrate. We just want to celebrate. It's like the music.
Yeah, well, you know. Let's do this. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. First off, happy birthday, my friend.
Well, thank you, man.
You're awesome, dude. I think I remember you when you were 60, so there you go. Now you're 70.
You probably close to. Go ahead.
No. Nowhere close to it. I'm 50.
I'm talking about knowing me from probably about 60, 63. Right. Exactly. Go ahead.
Exactly. All right. So I wanted to bring up two things. Please, people of Wisconsin, they're trying to make voting very difficult. My sister yesterday, who I've now turned on civic media, which is great. She lives in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, and she filled out her absentee ballot, registered because she moved to a new location. And just because she put the number 3 for her apartment number, it wouldn't go through until she eliminated the pound sign. So I guess if you put a comma or a period or anything like that, it won't go through. So just so people know that. Also, when it comes to absentee ballots, 20 days, you have to get them in within 20 days of the election. And we have a really important election coming up, or Wisconsin does, in August. And I don't know if you've read these two state referendums, Earl, but you need a law degree in order to even understand them. As far as I know, they're both, you vote no on them. Otherwise, you're giving all the power to the legislature in Wisconsin. But they have written this thing. I'm just going to read it to you real quick, if you don't mind. State of Wisconsin Delegation Appropriation Power Referendum, Question 1. Question 1, Delegation of Appropriation Power. Shall Section 35(1) of Article 4 of the Constitution be created to provide that the legislature may not delegate its sole power to determine how money shall be appropriated? Now you tell me, how is the average person out there? And they write these things this way on purpose.
Well, it's written by Wisconsin's Law and Liberty. So, you know, but go ahead, by attorneys.
I'm telling people, I believe the answer is no on both of these is what you'd want to do. So you limit the.
Well, I'll bring somebody in, Tom, to talk about it. Who's, you know, aware of it. So go ahead.
Your registrations, check them more than once because they're going to do whatever they can to make, since Wisconsin is a swing state, they're going to do whatever they can to try to suppress that vote and make that vote not happen. So everyone remember, we the people are the government, and we have got to be active in terms of understanding that there are people out there that spend billions of dollars on commercials and all these different things to get you not to vote.
Hey, Tom, thank you. Thank you very much for that information. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I want to, and I know you want to keep it lighthearted, but I got a couple of subjects, man, that we have to address. Because, you know, I think it's really important, you know, as I was going through my ritual about what I thought was important to talk about today, I ran across this article in today's New York Times. It's called How Capitalism Went Off the Rails. And so because I'm, you know, now 70 years old, I remember romantically thinking about capitalism and as a young man, how I was taught about this nation and its capitalistic views and how all the other nations of the earth were jealous of what we were able to do with capitalism. And you could see, you know, Sandy, the outcome of capitalism as I was a young boy and a young man, because the middle class was strong and vibrant. And the thing you could attribute it to, we'd always hear, was capitalism. And capitalism was a great equalizer. And so every nation wanted to follow us in our great capitalistic way of life. Sandy, what happened to capitalism?
Well, first of all, you've got to talk about terms, right? So capitalism isn't a form of government, really. Capitalism is a way of organizing business and the way you raise money for business and the way you operate businesses. And so capitalism is a really sound way to run businesses. You wouldn't want a government. You wouldn't want what China had 40 years ago to be going on in the United States with 10-year government plans and governments deciding how many rolls of tissue paper are produced, et cetera. You know, they'd get it wrong and you'd run out or you'd have too much. But so the marketplace in capitalism is a really sound way to run businesses, but it isn't, it doesn't mean that you don't have to have government parallel to it. And then the question is, what is the proper role of government? And plenty of other countries have taken capitalism in a different direction than the United States. We have a real hard form of capitalism, one in which the government doesn't play much of a role at all in terms of the way it provides benefits to the workers, okay? And in most of the countries, there's free education, there's free health care, very important benefits. There's pensions that are adequate and looked after. There's child daycare. All of those things are supplemental to and really support capitalism. They support the workers. They make it possible for the workplace not to have to worry about those kind of things. The United States didn't go down that path. And for a long time, all those benefits, to the extent we had them, were provided by our business, by our employers. And that has now changed. So the United States certainly has a form of capitalism that is working less well than it did in the past.
For everybody,
because it's not working as well for a bunch of people, particularly the middle class, who no longer have anything like the kind of support they had that they got from their union jobs. Now in today's shrinking middle class that involves two workers, not one worker, getting a family into the middle class. Now, that article is about basically the failure of capitalism to end up with governments that are held in high esteem in the governments of the G7 that are represented at that meeting. And I think that's a different story. That has more to do with the failure of government, okay, in these, because I think, they're looking at the extent to which governments are well received by the and well regarded by the people in the countries that are represented in the G7. But there are plenty of other countries around the world whose leaders aren't held in high regard either. I mean, I think government is going through a process of failing in the way it represents the interests of the people. And it's happening in many, many places. So it's not a failure of capitalism in my mind. It's much more a failure of government.
So let me read these two paragraphs, Sandy, and then let you respond. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Why the broad dissatisfaction with an economic system that is supposed to offer unsurpassed prosperity? Richard Sharma, the chairman of Rockefeller International and a Financial Times columnist, has an answer that boils down to two words: easy money. In an eye-opening new book, What Went Wrong with Capitalism, he makes a convincing case. When the price of borrowing money is zero, Sharma told me this week, the price of everything else goes bonkers. To take just one example, in 2010, as the era of ultra-low and even negative interest rates was getting started, the median sale price for a house in the United States hovered around $220,000. By the start of this year, it was more than $42,000. Nowhere has inflation, in the broad sense of the term, been more evident than in global financial markets. In 1980, they were worth a total of $12 trillion, equal to the size of the global economy at the time. And after the pandemic, Sharma noted those markets were worth $390 trillion, or around four times the world's total gross domestic product. Sandy, I was reading something the other day that said a McDonald's Big Mac was in 1994, $2 and some odd cent. They said today is $10. Now they point the finger at Joe Biden and Democrats for having caused this. Sandy, what's happened with capitalism can't be attributed to 4 years under any president, can it?
No, and the problem, I think the fellow that wrote that article has a very good point. One of the aspects of capitalism that is clear is that people who own assets have a great advantage in terms of accumulating wealth. And the accumulation of wealth becomes much, much easier when interest rates are essentially zero, when you can borrow money.
Yeah, and buy everything.
And buy things that are going to make money for you. You can operate on somebody else's money and get very wealthy. So long as you can talk someone into lending you money, you can make a lot of money. And that's what's happened, really. People have the level of wealth reflected by people who own assets has gone up dramatically, very dramatically. And one of the areas that has been very damaging to Tom, Dick, and Mary has been the extent to which it has increased the price of housing. Housing are one of the primary assets that are available to people who can own assets. And the price of housing has flown up not because of inflation, but because of the fact that the way capitalism is operating in our country and the way our tax scheme is operating and the way we've managed interest rates over time, it has put all of the advantage into those hands of people who own assets. And those people have been accumulating assets at a rapid clip.
In theory, easy money should have broad benefits for regular people, from employees with 401ks to consumers taking out cheap mortgages. In practice, it has destroyed much of what used to make capitalism an engine of middle-class prosperity in favor of the old and very rich.
Well, that's the point. The people who, if you own assets, particularly if you own a lot of assets, your rate of growth will magnify with low interest rates. And that is what happened. I mean, it happened in the real estate markets in particular, but in every way, it magnified the value of stock. A dollar of earnings 10 years from now is worth a great deal more in an environment in which there's no interest rate.
So Sandy,
to diminish the value of that dollar earned 10 years from now, as interest rates go up, that value of a dollar earned 10 years from now goes down. And that drives down the price of stock. So much of the stock market thriving as it did had to do with low interest rates. And then as more and more people accumulated assets, they became more and more dependent on investing in the stock market. So it became a closed loop of wealth generation.
So, Sandy, this is known. How do you fix it? Hold a thought. 844-967-2789. Is the number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. 844-967-2789 is the number.
Is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM. The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to be here this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee. Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Matt Nair on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno fest for charity or something?
That'd be cool.
Matinee on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The only great thing about all this is
it's like the
I only have to go through it once a year.
It'll never be quite like this again.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at this same number. I want people to understand I had nothing to do with this. This is all Sandy Williams.
Yeah. it's the least I could do.
So,
and that's what I'm doing, the least I can do.
So we were talking about, you know, what happened to capitalism. And, Sandy, you were explaining some things. And I want to bring in Mike from Kenosha. I know he has a perspective. Hey, good morning to you, Mike. How you doing, sir? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Cheers to your 70th birthday, Earl.
Well,
it's always nice to have a special day and for us to feel a little special for that one day.
Yeah. So, you're not, take it all in. you're not far from there. So, okay, go ahead.
Not far at all. I'll be 66 next month. So yeah, I'm creeping up behind you, but
yeah.
You know, I love to talk about capitalism and I think most of us, you know, there's a lot of things that are very attractive of capitalism. It fits very well and with entrepreneurialism and with risk comes reward, some of that kind of thing. But what happens is without people paying attention and media groups on the ball telling us what's going on, then certain things happen like, you know, healthy, long-established, very diverse companies get identified. And if they have strong pensions, all of a sudden they're identified for a hostile takeover. And with vulture capitalism, if you will, all of a sudden those pensions that used to be in the accounting process was listed as a employee asset. That changed somewhere in the 80s. And all of a sudden, railroad pensions, all these large companies that had healthy pension, fully funded pensions, were targeted for takeover. And then, private equity splits them up into 1,000 pieces. So, you know, it's like everything else, you know, in and of itself, it's a good thing. It's unique and it's certainly made America. But like everything else, if people aren't paying attention, the greed factor comes in and takes over the whole thing. And now we've got something else that's called too big to fail, too big to jail, too big to prosecute. We got, bailouts and I can go on and on, but sticking again with private equity and the vulture capitalism, gosh, you know, we love to compete. We love the American way in many ways, but vulture capitalism is not, and it does not fit in a republic. And it's something that we should be on guard about 24/7.
Hey, Mike, let's let Sandy respond.
Well, the capitalism, I view all of this as not a failure of capitalism, but a failure of government. Okay. Capitalism and business generally and marketplaces generally and environments generally require some level of regulation. And what's happened is that, and I think it has to do with probably with money in politics, but government has stopped that process has stopped doing at least an effective job of that process. I think the Biden administration is trying to reawaken that process and is beginning to feel now the recriminations from those who would be regulated for it. And so, you know, we can talk another show about private equity. Maybe we should devote one to it. Private equity isn't all evil. It's the way that many families have been able to realize the value of their businesses when the fourth generation in the family decides they don't want to stay in the business, they want to sell it. So it has to do with private ownership of business rather than public ownership, and what it is that's done with the businesses. And I think that does require a greater degree of magnified interest on the part of the government to figure out what's appropriate and how much of it can be regulated. But from my standpoint, what's happening in America with respect to capitalism is a failure of government to provide the underpinnings that capitalism needs to thrive. And those underpinnings include education provided to the public, healthcare provided to the public, daycare for the children provided to the public. Daycare provided to the public has a lot to do with increasing the number of people, the able-bodied workers who can come forward to work successfully. I just think that we might be getting it wrong in this country in terms of going riding capitalism and believing that capitalism is itself a form of government when it isn't. It's a form of organization for business.
Mike?
I think what we've learned is unfettered, unregulated capitalism is a red herring at best. It is high risk, sometimes low reward, especially centralized reward. But you know, my point specifically is unfriendly takeovers. To me, if a group doesn't want to sell their company, and some investment banker from Wall Street comes in and puts a squeeze play on them, to me, that's unfettered capitalism. That's unhealthy. It's not good for the company. It's not good for the community. It's not good for the employees. It's only good for that handful of vultures that are, that see the opportunity. And the last point is then all of a sudden quantitative easing and all these other things come into play where, you know, bank, big, huge capital investment programs or projects, you know, go in the tank. And then, you know, quantitative easing has to come into play to buy, you know, these underperforming assets from the banks, or else our economy is going to be frozen, they threaten. So, yeah, I agree with you. It is something that needs high regulation.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. But you know, Sandy, that one of the major problems with all of it is the American people don't understand any of that language. And that language has impacted their lives. And how do we fix that?
Well, one of the problems is that the way when you require sophisticated regulation, you require sophisticated government employees to do the regulation. And it's those sophisticated government employees that are now being painted as the deep state. OK, and so that's part of the war on government right now. And the war on the deep state is really a war on regulation.
All right. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A Friday edition will air the grievances and get a legal update. Devil's Friday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.